AM 1540, set it as one, the National Voice. The time now is 8 o'clock. We invite you to tune in for Turning Point Live on the National Voice, AM 1540, set it as one in Nassau.
Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, Turning Point presents another two-hour live program, and our subject tonight is Once Saved, Always Saved, and or Living the Victorious Life. In the studio this evening, we have Brother Henrik Bowe, Brother Paul Miller, and myself, Julian Miller, your moderator. But before we begin our program tonight, we're going to ask Brother Henrik to give us a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Most kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come before the nation, before the people, Lord, to speak from your word and to share from your word. And we ask that in all things, your Holy Spirit go forth, and may you be lifted up, and may man be drawn to you, O Lord, and seek the truth for themselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening once again. Before we get started on tonight's call-in show, we are going to ask Brother Paul Miller to give us a little history and explanation of the purpose of Turning Point Ministries. Brother Paul.
Thank you much for doing it. Once again, good night, Bahamas. We are happy to be coming to your homes, boats, wherever you are tonight, and this day off from work. Well, Turning Point Ministry is a faith-based ministry. We are self-supported. And like I told just people a few days ago, I realized that a lot of people don't like to sponsor the truth. You know, I told them, if you are here jumping around and speaking in tongues and all the dramatics of the gospel, I feel as if, you know, by now we have been in just about every church here now. So because, but we are in a time when the Bible predicts that men will not be enjoying the truth in these last days. And if we hear a turning point go from time to time, we have surely can see the witness of that. I mean, my mind sometimes going out, Brother Noah, who preached for 120 years, and the end of his 120 days of crusade, only him and his family were saved on the ark. Sometimes, you know, I feel the same way, because people hear this ministry going forward, and sometimes before they take the time to search to see if those things are true or not, they prefer to stand away off and say, you know, those guys are crazy, they're out of control. But, you know, God has taken an accurate record, and he knows who all is listening, he knows whose heart is convicted. As a matter of fact, it's the job of the Holy Ghost to convict the hearts of men. We're not trying to start a church. We are here to share the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. We also open ourselves up to criticisms, or we also open ourselves up to follow something else. If we come across that which we should not be following, we're not too big to apologize and say we are sorry. You know, it don't go that way. This is the way it should have been, ladies and gentlemen. But by all means, like we always say, you are our board members. And if you are saying something that, you know, will cause the people under our listening ears to go astray, by all means, we expect for someone to give us a call and sit us down in the Spirit of the Lord and show us that this is what it should have been said, so people can be on their way. If you would like to contribute to this ministry in any way by your prayers, financial support, or whatever, you can always feel free to give us a call at 322-6273 as we continue to ask the Lord to lead and guide us all the way.
Like Brother Paul said, Turning Point Ministry is a self-supporting ministry. If you want to reach us, you can reach us many ways. You could call us at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org. And on our website, you will find the email address of Brother Henrik, Brother Paul, and myself. You would also find links to other websites that we find very interesting and helpful of our study of the scriptures. For those of you who don't know, we have a regular half-hour program that comes on Sunday afternoon and 2 p.m. on 1540, and you can listen to Turning Point every week at that time. Also, we try to come on at least once a month with a live two-hour program to discuss topics that we deem relevant, I guess you could say. But if you have any topics that you might want us to discuss on any given night, please feel free to call us, write us, email us, and we'll consider that topic and try to deal with it the best way we can by bringing a live program where all of the Bahamas and all those who are listening could share their views on that topic. This afternoon, our topic is once save, always save. Or like Brother Renwick used to say, once save, always save. And in relation to that, living the victorious life. We're going to open our phone lines right from the break. So if you have any questions or comments that you want to participate in this discussion this afternoon, telephone lines are toll-free from the Family of Violence at 242-300-8255. That's a toll-free number from the Family of Violence, 242-300-8255. For those of you in New Providence, you can reach us at 325-5403 or, 325-5404 or 325-5405. Please excuse me tonight. I have a little frog in my throat, so please forgive me if it sounds like I'm a little bit off. Brother Paul, Brother Renwick, the topic tonight is once saved, always saved. What does it mean to be saved?
To be saved, Brother Julian, simply means that you've come to the realization that if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you would not be alive. He paid a price for you on Calvary's cross, and not only you, but for the whole world. And Jesus says it's best in John 14:15, if you love me, if you love what I really did for you on Calvary's cross, if you love all the things I provided for you long before you even came to the knowledge of this, keep my commandments. And here again he said the only way it is possible for you to keep his commandments if you're rooted and grounded in him. Like he said, when he walked among men, the only way he was able to live the victorious life, and the only way he is able to live this, present a sacrifice to his Father that was accepted on our behalf, is through his Heavenly Father. And it's the same thing with us. It is possible for us to live the victorious life. It is possible for us, once we come in connection with Jesus Christ, to not ever look back again, looking forward to the glorious day of Christ's return. Jesus also says in John chapter 15, he says, he was the one, he is the wine, and I am the wine, he says, and ye are the branches. Ye that abide in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without him, Jesus says in John 15, verse 5, you can do nothing. And normally I would tell people, thinking about you can do nothing without Jesus Christ, is as simple as, when was the last time you remember you had to breathe in and out? It comes automatic because of the love of God. It's the only way you and I can do the things that we do every day of our lives is because of Christ. So once we come to the saving knowledge that Christ has done something for us that we're not able to do for ourselves, based on that, the Holy Ghost invites us to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. Totally. Forgetting those things that are in the past and looking forward to those things that are in the future. Walking each day of our lives in Jesus Christ.
You know, Brother Paul, Brother Julian, I mean, every time you come on the air, we try and make it abundantly clear, if not directly, then through the way that we present the message, that the center of this whole thing is not myself or not Brother Paul, but it is Jesus Christ. And he's the one that should be lifted up. And, you know, it's truly amazing when we go and we study the scriptures and we see the unfolding of time and how God has dealt with mankind through the course of time. And it's truly amazing when we get down to the end of the Bible and we read down at the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, you know, Revelation 13:8, and that tells us that Jesus Christ was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. You know, before we sitting here today, you know, before 1,000 years ago, before the world was really put in place, you know, the decision was made that Christ would sacrifice his life that all may have salvation. And that grace existed from Adam straight on down to now that we sit here and speak to the nation today. That same grace still exists. And that same grace was offered to all men, that none would have to be lost, but that all would have an opportunity to accept that grace, to confess their sins and accept that grace, and receive eternal life. And it's truly an amazing thing when we read the scriptures and see the love of God and how it is poured out upon mankind. It's truly an amazing love that really goes beyond all understanding. But again, it's by Christ and Christ only are we saved. And it is through his grace and not anything that we humanly, any type of works that we do to earn that gift of salvation, but it's something that is given freely for us to accept and not reject.
One of the things that I like to say is a lot of people sometimes forget that when people say they are saved, they forget that they're not in the home of the saved. The Bible reminds us that the harvest has passed and the summer has ended and we are not saved. We always have to remember each day of our lives that that if before one time things we can stand, the Bible says we must take heed lest we fall. Another thing we need to realize that is the same mindset or the same character we are right now participating in on earth is the same character we're going to take into the courts of heaven. What I mean by that is, if you're a person who loves to dabble in things you know you should not be dabbling in, if Christ should permit you into heaven, you're going to try to do the same thing. But the Bible is clear that will not happen, because the Bible tells affliction or sin will not arise a second time. That's why the Apostle Paul admonishes us that any man that is in Christ, he should be a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. So it's very important that once you say you are a Christian, your life should be one that should be read of all men. The Apostle Paul put it best. He said, we are a letter, or we are an epistle, living and read of all men. So when men see you, do they see the gospel, the true gospel, or are they seeing another gospel? Because you know, the Apostle Paul also tells in Galatians chapter 1, he said, if any man should preach you another gospel, let him be accursed of God. He said, even if it be an angel from heaven, preach you another gospel, let him be accursed of God. So the gospel is Christ in you, the hope of glory. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul tells in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for you and I should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jews, to the Greek, and now even to Bahamians and all around the world. So the gospel has power. But the problem is, many Christians are downplaying the gospel. And when people look on us and they see the things we participate in, they be trying to figure out, is this gospel really real? But it is real, ladies and gentlemen. And once we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, our whole outlook on life will be completely different. So today, I charge you, or I even encourage you, if you have never studied your Bible before, start tonight. Or tomorrow morning when you get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, just read maybe a chapter and allow the gospel to transform your life, as it did many others, and even who, and even us who are here speaking to you tonight.
Brother Paul, Brother Renrick, are you telling me, as I read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is full of talk of love. God loves, and Jesus loves, and everybody loves, and we should love. Do you think, are you telling us this afternoon that a God that shows so much love is going to not take everybody to heaven?
No, Brother Julian. Only those who have totally surrendered to Jesus Christ are going to be taken to heaven. The Bible is quite clear. As a matter of fact, this is a big mix-up that is going on right now in Christianity tonight. That's one of the reasons why we're having this talk show, where there are people that are teaching. As a matter of fact, I sat in a particular church when I first gave my heart to the Lord in 1991, and they were teaching that once you're saved, you're always saved. And one of the texts I like to use when people tell me that is in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 to 24. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he had committed, and keep all of my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he had committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. And in his righteousness that he had done, he shall live. I don't have any pleasure in the wicked, says the Lord God, and not that he shall return from his ways and live. But when the righteous, verse 24 of Ezekiel 18, but when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and commit iniquity and do according to all the abominable that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All of his righteousness, the Bible says, that he have done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he trespassed, and in his sins that he hath sinned, he shall die. So Ezekiel 18, verse 24 says, if you and I tonight are righteous, and if you should go around committing iniquity, iniquity simply means you know you should not have been committing any sin that you know the Lord has called you from. He has delivered you from that sin. That's why the Bible called that sin now iniquity. That's no longer transgression. The Bible says, if you should do this, this is an abomination. And that wicked man that find himself dabbling in something that he once used to participate in and now find himself doing it again, he should not live. He shall die in his sins. And that's in a nutshell. And the gospel is filled of examples of people who once used to walk with Christ, and now today they are waiting for damnation when they arise in the second resurrection.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. So you're telling us that there will be someone, that there will be people who will be lost. So how do you reconcile that then to the fact of God's love? Why would he have people lost if he loves us so much?
Brother Julian, if Christ should take you, for example, let's say I have a weakness. I love to molest little boys. And I die molesting little boys. If the Lord should allow me to heaven, I'm going to want to do the same thing. If I die loving to buy the numbers as a Christian, this is a secret sin. None of the brothers in the church will know. I'm the big contributor to the offering plate. They can't figure out how come I can be giving thousands and thousands of dollars to the church ministry, not knowing that in my secret time, I was buying the number. I was playing the lottery. I will be lost, because when I get to heaven, I'm going to be looking for the number house. Or when I come back to earth to live forever, I'm going to be looking for the number house. The same mindset, I can't overemphasize this more, the same mindset we die with is the same mindset we're going to rise with. And this is why the Bible tells us that we must let this mind be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus. This is very important. And it is possible for us to have the mind of Christ. If not, Jesus would not have said, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That's Matthew chapter 5. If Jesus tells us to be something that he knew we couldn't be, that means Jesus was quoting a scripture he should not have quoted. But he knows abide in his word. He knows the authority of his word is enough to stop us from falling once we totally surrender to him.
That's right, and pardon me. You know, one of those key texts in the Bible that we could always turn through for encouragement and for strength, you know, is the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. And, you know, the Apostle Paul tells us that, and he says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy," but not just mercy. We obtain mercy for our sins. But after we obtain that mercy for our sins, we have to go on living our lives. And what do we need to get through the daily living of our lives? We need a continuing infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need continual renewal. We need to fill our minds with the Word of God. We need His strength to go on living through day after day. And Apostle Paul goes on to say, but not only do we obtain mercy, but he says, and to find grace to help in the time of need. And that's what we need even more than, I would say, ever before in these last moments of Earth history. Not only do we need mercy, but we need God's grace, His power, to overcome the things, the temptations of this world, and really to be prepared for the world to come. I mean, it comes down to one or two things. Either we're going to be inside of the kingdom or outside of the kingdom. And like Brother Paul said, you know, this is the preparation ground right now. It's now that we have to prepare ourselves and renew our lives, not renew our lives, but remove those things from our lives that are not pleasing to the Lord, and really prepare ourselves for His coming.
And the good news is we don't have to rely on ourselves to move those things. The Lord Himself removed those things from our lives. That's good news. The problem is we don't want the Lord to remove it. And that's why He keep allowing it to come to you. He keep allowing the devil. See, the devil plays a part in our salvation. The part the devil plays is he's the one that tempts us. The devil cannot cause us to sin. He brings the Lord allows him to bring the temptation, and Jesus Christ empowers us to overcome the temptation. That's the good news. The problem is, do we believe the good news? You know, tonight, sometimes I think, could it be that grace is on trial here? Could it be we have not heard the real gospel? Could it be the good news is too good for us to believe? It's better than we think, ladies and gentlemen. It is good news. And the good news is, once we abide in Jesus Christ, we can overcome every evil tendency. As a matter of fact, if we don't, we will not receive the seal of God in our foreheads. You know, a lot of times we talk about the mark of the beast, but we also have the mark of God, which is the seal of God. And it would not be placed on any of our head unless our character is that like that of Christ. And what is that seal? What does that Lord of God want to put in His people's forehead? You can find that in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16. He says, "Bind up the testimony and seal my law among my disciples." See, it goes right back to that law. The Ten Commandment law is the character of God. And this is why the Lord took His time to write it Himself. This is the only part of the Bible that He did not trust to mankind. He took His time and He wrote it on tables of stone. And now today we have the prophecy of Jeremiah that those laws are now written on the tables of our heart. And surely, if all of us tonight will cry to the Lord for the power and the strength to walk as He walked, all of the police stations tonight can close down. All the young men in prison can be let free. All the young ladies in prison can be let free. And it'll be peace and tranquility here in the Bahamas and around the world. But the problem is we have men who say they are Christians who are walking contrary to the law of God. And they say, "Lord, save us in our sins when you come. We love you, Lord." But Jesus said, "How can you say you love me and you do not the things that I say?" Only those that are keeping all the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus will be saved when Jesus Christ comes. Notice, they don't have the faith in Jesus, but they have the faith of Jesus, according to Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. That's very important. Anyone can have faith in Jesus, like most of those who believe in the one saved, always saved doctrine. They have the faith in Jesus, but surely if they were abiding in the faith of Jesus, they would have no reason to be wondering if they're going to fall away from grace, because there's no way we can fall from grace once we are in Christ Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, our topic tonight is once saved, always saved, or living the victorious life. You can give us a call at 242-300-8255. For those of you living in the Family Islands, that's a toll-free call, and that's 242-300-8255. For those of you living in New Providence, you could call us at 325-5403, 325-5404, or 325-5405. And that's Turning Point is on the air with a two-hour live program. We're off the air at 10 o'clock. We welcome your questions and comments on our topic this evening, once saved, always saved, or living the victorious life. But apart from Renwick, we talked about being saved. The counter side to that is being lost. What does it mean to be lost?
To be lost simply means to find yourself living in your sins when Christ comes, or dying in your sins. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation chapter 20, it talks about two resurrections. And it says, blessed and holy are part in the first resurrection, because on the second one, there's no power. There's damnation there. Because if you continue reading in Revelation chapter 20, you will see where, as the devil is loose out of his prison for a little season, he goes to deceive the nation once more. And as he deceived the nation, these nations of people that are lost, the Bible says they encamp the city above where the beloved saints will be. And the saints are those who keep the commandments of God here again, have the faith of Jesus. And as they encamp the saints, the Bible says, fire come down and burn them up. But why should this be, when the Bible is quite clear that hell was made for the devil and his angels? The Bible also tells in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whosoever commits sin transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 5 gives us good news. It says, and we know that he, Jesus Christ, was manifest to take away our sins, and in him there was no sin. Whosoever abided in him, the Bible says, sinned not. Whosoever sinned had not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. Like tonight, many are being deceived, that once they are saved, and somehow they might drift away. They might go and steal the boss pencil, or steal a little bit of the bank money, or whatever it is. If they die doing that, they're still going to be saved. But John said, no, little children, do not be deceived. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committed sin is of the devil. Whoever find themselves committing adultery, or lying, or stealing, or hating, or cheating the government on his taxes, if you find yourself doing that, the Apostle John says, ye are of the devil, and the devil sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the good news again, and for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. And to that I say, amen. And verse 9, I love this text, and this is a text, one of Brother Junior's favorite texts, whenever you try to tell him you cannot live the victorious life. And whosoever, man, woman, boy, or girl, is born of God, does not commit sin. For his seed, Jesus Christ's seed, remain in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. Isn't that good news? That's the good news of the gospel, brothers and sisters, in a nutshell. That once we are born of God, like he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. But if you are born again, the Bible says you cannot commit sin. Why? Because Jesus Christ's seed is in you. And surely Jesus Christ is not going to be in you if you lay down with your husband, with your neighbor's wife. Surely the seed of Christ is not in you if you're laying down with your neighbor's husband. Surely the seed of Jesus Christ is not in you if you're stealing the bank's pencil and taking it home for your little children to use at school. There's no way, ladies and gentlemen, once Christ's seed is in you, he keeps you from falling. That's the good news. It's his responsibility. I think sometimes, you know, as I think about what Jesus is doing in heaven, right, I think sometimes he's just sitting with his arms folded. He said, just look at my people. But I tell them, if you're burdened, if you're heavy laden, surrender, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Jesus right there with his arms folded with nothing to do because we are trying to do it ourselves. Well, if you're trying to do that, we're going to find ourselves outside the kingdom of God. This only can be wrought. This only can be worked out in Jesus Christ. So today, the Lord cries from the Mount Zion in the courts of heaven tonight, surrender all to me. And if you do that, I will take control of your life.
You know, growing up in the secular media, there's always this impression that there's a God in heaven, an old man, just waiting to see who he can zap, and just trying to wait for you to just make one wrong move, you know, so you can be, you know, lost. and eternally lost, but that is absolutely not the case. As a matter of fact, it is quite the opposite. When we read the scriptures, we see clear examples, and the scriptures make it quite abundantly clear that God is doing all that he can on our behalf, all that he can, that we may not be lost, and that we may come to him and receive salvation, and that we may receive that gift of salvation. But we know that there's a counter force working, you know, that we would not come to Christ. But to go back to your question, Brother Julian, what does it mean to be lost? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, it gives quite an answer to that question. And the prophet Isaiah says, you know, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear." What is this saying? It's saying to us, this is saying to us that the Lord is always waiting on our behalf, that we may come to him with a repentant heart and confess our sins before him, that we can receive that gift of salvation, and not only that we may be saved, but that our lives may be changed and molded into his character, that our lives may be one that is pleasing to him, and that we may go forth and show forth his goodness and mercy and spread his love to all those around us. And he's actively working on our behalf and waiting on our behalf that we may come to him. But why is it that some would be lost? Verse 2 gives the answer. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities," it's our iniquities that have separated between you and your God, "and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." It's not that the Lord is looking to cast us off, but it's when we sin, we separate ourselves from Christ. He still loves us, but we can't be in a state of being saved and not being saved at the same time. And it's when we hold on to those sins that we separate ourselves from Christ, and we are now outside of that, outside of Christ and outside of salvation and the end result of sin. But we know what that is from studying the scripture. But it is sin that separates us from Christ and it causes many to be lost.
Thank you very much, Brother Renwick. Brother Paul, once again, ladies and gentlemen, our topic tonight is "Once Saved, Always Saved," or "Living the Victorious Life." Our telephone numbers here in the studio are area code 242-300-8255, and that's for those of you who are calling from the family of islands. That's a toll-free call. That means you don't have to pay. You could call us, and it's a free call. Or for you who live in the island of New Providence, on the island of New Providence, you can give us a call at 325-5403, 325-5403, 325-5404, or 325-5405. And once again, I said, our topic is "Once Saved, Always Saved," or "Living the Victorious Life." Brother Paul, Brother Renwick, but doesn't the Bible talk about no one being able to pluck us out of God's hands? So if no one could pluck us out of God's hands, how is it possible that once we accept Christ, that we could go astray, or we go astray?
We have to leave the Lord, Jesus. We have to leave the Lord, Brother Julian. The Lord does not cast us off. Anytime we find ourselves outside of the Lord's hand, it's because we have chosen to come out of his hand. There's nothing no one can do in order to shake your face in Jesus Christ. And this is what the text is saying, that no one can pluck you out of the Lord's hand. It means exactly what it says, that you are the Lord's. He appeared an ultimate price for you and for the whole world. And once you are in his hand, no man can come and take you out. You know, it's like, I remember like in the story with Job, you know, when Satan came looking for someone to deal with, for some reason he picked Job. He said, "The reason why Job is checking for you, Lord, is because you got your protecting edge around him." I mean, and that was true. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, "The Lord has his protecting edge around all of us, and no one can touch us unless the Lord allow it to be happen." So the Lord said, "Tell you what, deal with my servant Job," in Job chapter 1. He said, "You can do whatever you want to do, just don't take his life." And you know the story. I mean, Job lost everything. And the good news about it, in the last verse, the Bible said, after Job went through all of his toil and tribulation and all of his down and everything, Job sinned not. And tonight, there are people teaching us that if by chance we should sin, if we can't stand like Job stand in the will of the Lord, and we die not standing like Job did, we're going to still be saved. No, ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. And tonight, you know, we're going to invite you to maybe share some scripture. I mean, and through your research, that makes you feel so confident that if by chance you should do a little white lie, or if you do a little lie, or whatever kind of lie you try to call it, and you think you're still going to be saved, then, I mean, by all means, feel free to give us a call. But based on our research, all the things point in the opposite direction. that once we are in Christ, we can live the victorious life. Surely the Lord can put us to the test like he did Job. Say, Satan, they are my servants down there. Try them. And I assure you, whatever you try, they will not fall. They will stand like their forefather, Job.
I think it's probably a good point just to highlight what once saved, always saved doctrine teaches in a nutshell. I mean, we've alluded to it for the past few minutes, but it in a nutshell, it basically teaches that once you accept Christ or receive the gift of salvation, that no matter how you live or what you do from that point on, you know, that salvation cannot be lost. Even if you turn back and start hitting the bottle again, you know, you're still heaven bound. And we believe that the Bible teaches the exact opposite. I think it's also important to highlight here that even though a person may slip and fall into a sin, there is still forgiveness for that sin. And the key here is that you don't continue in that sin, but you repent of that sin, you know, come back to the foot of the cross and seek forgiveness, confess that sin to the Lord Jesus and ask him to cleanse you from it. And not only that, ask him to give you the strength to overcome it going forward, because you will be tested again and again and again until you overcome that weakness. And the key here is not that once you become saved, if you commit a sin, you're instantly lost and there's no hope. No, there is hope. Once we're living, there's still hope. And once we confess our sin and repent and ask the Lord to strengthen and empower us, that when we go forward the next day or the next hour, that we will not keep slipping and sliding and falling back into those same sins again. I think that's an important point to make mention of and highlight.
What I like to share and what Brother Renwick had to say is, you know, most people don't believe it exactly how Brother Renwick said it. He presented just how the Bible presented it. But some people have the view that if you should die doing that which is wrong without having an opportunity to repent, you are still saved. And just about 3 years ago, there were some young people in my neighborhood giving out some tracts. And I got them mixed up with another church that I attended, one who teaches this doctrine of once saved, always saved. So I said, let me see if I understand your young people right. There were two men and one young lady. So I said, are you telling me, young people, that if I decide to drop the two young men off first and happen to run up the young lady and decide to rape her, and I suffer a massive heart attack in the process of raping her, will I still be saved? And in the affirmative, the three of them said yes. And it blew my mind. So I said, I'm going to come by your church tomorrow. I said, your church believe that? And they said, yes, our church believe that. So that Sunday, I went by their church, and sure enough, the Sunday school teacher, he was sharing the concept of having the whole armor of God. And he was right on. I mean, I couldn't present it better. And at the end of his presentation, I said, Mr. Teacher, I have a question. I said, if what you're saying is true, having the whole armor of God to fight against the wiles of the devil, I said, if I should happen to allow the devil to trip me up in doing something that is not right, and I die, although having on the whole armor of God, would I still be saved? And sure enough, he said yes. And it just blew my mind. And for the next few moments, I just began to share the scripture that the Lord brought to my mind and asked the congregation if they believe the scripture, if they believe the teacher. And I went back foot and forth for about 5 minutes until the pastor came in and he stopped the process of what the Lord was using me to do. But this doctrine is out there. And I have dear friends that truly believe that, hey, by some chance they cheat the customer or they do something that is contrary to their wife or their husband or whatever, they still are going to be saved. But you know, 2 Peter sends a warning against that. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 20. For if, after we have escaped the pollution of the world through lust, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than in the beginning. For it has been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But if it had happened unto them according to the truth, see, when they do this, it'll be happen as if the true proverb, the dog has returned unto his vomit again, and the soul that was washed to her vomit in the mire. So the Bible said it would have been better for us to have not known the counsel of God, for us to find ourselves entangled in the things that are not true, that we know that are wrong, because the latter end would be worse than it was in the beginning.
Our telephone numbers are toll free from those of you calling from the Family Islands, 242-300-8255. Those of you calling on from the island of New Providence, you could give us a call at 325-5403, 325-5404, or 325-454-5405. Excuse me. We welcome your questions and or comments on the topic that we have tonight, that's once saved, always saved, or living the victorious life. But Paul, we keep talking about this victorious life. Could you tell us or give us a synopsis of what this victorious life is all about?
Living the victorious life simply means, Brother Jordan, that we are totally rested in Jesus Christ. We have totally surrendered our old life and our old nature on the cross, and we are now resting in Jesus Christ. I like to give an example sometimes. If you get three different size cups, the big cup will represent the robe of Christ's righteousness, the middle sized cup will represent you and I, and the small cup of the three will represent the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, if you abide in him, and if he abide in you and you abide in him, like that, you will not be able to do nothing if it's not like that. So if you are abiding in Christ and the Holy Spirit is abiding in you, then when the world see you, they should not see you, they should see Christ. And when the world see you operating in the power of Christ, then they will realize that it's not you, but it's actually Christ. And this is why Jesus says in his word that we must do the good works, that he must be glorified. Because surely if the Holy Ghost is not reigning supreme in our lives, we will not do the things and the will of Christ. Because remember, the Bible says our carnal mind is not subject to the law of God and never indeed can be. So it deems for us to understand that it has to be a power working outside of ourselves, having us operate in the power of Christ. And that power is the Holy Spirit. And this is the only way Christ can robe us with the Christ with his robe of his righteousness. Because if we are dabbling in sin, there's no way the robe of Christ's righteousness can be resting upon us. It's only when we are totally surrendered to Jesus Christ we can live the victorious life. We'll live the life that Christ lived when he walked among men. That he said, glorify me, Father, like I glorify your name when I walk among men. And that's what Christ is looking for. That those people he can truly trust, those people he know that will walk with him, and they have come to the point where they prefer to die than to sin. In a nutshell, that's what the victorious life is. You prefer to die than to sin. And the only way you can do that, the only way you can die than to sin, if you're rested and rooted in Jesus Christ.
Thank you very, very much, Brother Paul. Now, we talk about this victorious life, but how is that possible in this day and age? How is it possible for us in 2007 to live a victorious life?
It goes right back to the root, Brother Julian. It goes right back to Jesus. It's only possible in Jesus Christ. Now, there are some guidelines in the Bible. Some of the guidelines are, what fellowship of light has to do with darkness? Jesus says, if your right eye offend you, or if your left hand offend you, cut your hand off or pluck your eyes out. What is Jesus saying here? Did he literally want you to pluck your eye out and cut your hands off? No, he's not saying that. What he is saying is, if there are things that trouble you, that you look upon, that cause you to sin, you need to move away from those things. If there are things that cause your hand to get in trouble, then you need to don't let your hand get in trouble. And the only way that is possible, if you're in Jesus Christ. That's very important. You see, because if we ever come to the conclusion that because we are Christians, if you ever come to the conclusion that, you know, we have surrendered to Jesus Christ and now I'm free to do whatever I want to do, surely you will find yourself entangled once again. And the Bible says it will have been worse if you have never known. You were like a dog returning to his vomit. And that's why Hebrews 10 tells us, verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after we have received a knowledge of the truth, there remained no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. So the Bible says, if we sin willfully, after you have received the knowledge of the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. Where does the truth come from? It comes from the word of Jesus Christ. Because he says it best in John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the Bible says, if you and I sin willfully. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says something much more serious than that. The Bible says, every time we sin, we crucify the Savior afresh. So God hates sin. And every time we sin willfully, the Bible says we crucify him afresh, and we put Jesus Christ, we put the gospel of Jesus Christ to open shame. Aren't we tired of putting Jesus Christ on the cross? We have the victorious life today. You got to go back tomorrow, ask him, say, Lord, forgive me. If he forgive you today, you find yourself right back asking forgiveness tomorrow. If he forgive you tomorrow, you find yourself 3 days later, no, that in and out stuff, the Lord want to give you the victory over that. He want to bring you to the point where you are no more tossing to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You're no more tossed in to and fro by the elements of this world. Surely the Lord are looking for those type of people. And will he find them? According to Revelation 14, he will find them. Because in Revelation 14, verse 1, the Bible says, and I look, and lo, a lamb stood among Zion, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written in their forehead. That's the name we want. We want the Father's name written in our forehead. And verse 5 of that chapter, Revelation 14, said, in their mouth, Those who had the Father's name written in their head were found with no guile. They were out for before the throne of God. Simply put, it means that they can put you downtown Russell Square and no one will be able to bring an accusation against you because you're totally rooted, you're totally sold out for Jesus Christ. If that should happen to you tomorrow, they should take you downtown Russell Square and put you, the Christian, on display. Would anyone be able to bring a false report upon you or bring a report to say that you are not one of those that can be saying are found with no guile? Would you be one? I'm hoping that we all can be one day, and we can be one right now, because the power is available right now. As of this moment, we can surrender our lives to Christ, and we can start a new leaf. You might have been one of those Christians who find themselves in and out, backward and forward, pleading with the Lord, asking the Lord for forgiveness. But tonight, there's power in the name of Jesus Christ to get the victory and do away with that life. Take reorganization in your life. Change the television programs. Be careful the type of music you listen to. Be careful the type of friends you hang out with. All these things you must take an account. For example, yesterday was the Super Bowl event. And over 3-4 years, the Lord gave me the victory over the Super Bowl and over NBA sports and all these sorts of stuff. Because these young men said they're glorifying God, but can you imagine Jesus hitting you in your head with a helmet? Say he's trying to tackle you and trying to rough you down and spin around doing a fancy dance. Think about it. Can you imagine Jesus, you going to make a dunk, and when you go to make a dunk, Jesus elbow you in your teeth or elbow you in your eye? Think about it. So the Lord said, no, Paul, this is what the Apostle Paul talked about. This is that corruptible prize they're going after. But I want you to go behind this prize that is incorruptible. And the only way you can get away from these worldly customs and these worldly traits that the world is running after, and even the church, God forbid, I have to say that, if you're rooted and grounded in Jesus, they're going to think you're a fanatic. But remember, we have a brother by the name of Noah. They thought he was a fanatic too. As a matter of fact, this brother built his boat on dry land. And the Lord told him, say, Noah, you preach the message. And every time Noah nailed a nail, the gospel was being preached. When those animals ran in the ark by seven and by twos, yes, they did run in by seven, ladies and gentlemen. I bet you didn't know that. You read Genesis chapter 7. The clean animals ran in by seven. And unclean animals ran in by twos. I know you read those story books that tell you they ran in two by two. But no, ladies and gentlemen, there were seven pairs of cows, male and female, a total of 14. There were two conchs, male and female. So when Noah came off the boat, if he had got a scotch conch, the conch industry would have been out of business, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. If Noah had eaten just one lobster, the lobster season would have been over. I mean, the prime minister right now and his government is trying to shut down the grouper season and all those sorts of stuff. But if we would follow the counsel of God, we'll have more of the food than what we could ever dream of if we are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ.
You know, the question you asked, Brother Julian, how is it possible to live a victorious life today? My mind went back on final exam time. And I think we're living in final exam time right now, right?
Amen.
At final exam time, I mean, that was time to hunker down. You know, it's no more kidding around. Door shut. Gotta get it this go round, you know. Everybody's studying last minute. You gotta get it. You shut all that other stuff out. And the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, in my estimation, there are two ways we could gird up the loins of our mind. Number one, you need to strengthen it. And how do we strengthen it? We strengthen it through God's word. We read, we study the word daily so that it is written in our mind, and it'll come back to our remembrance, and it'll fortify us, and it'll take the place of that other garbage that was in there all the years before. So we gird up the loins of our mind, we strengthen our mind, and we also protect our mind. Like Brother Paul says that, you know, once we receive salvation, then what's the point of going back to some of that other stuff? You know, what's the point of going, you know, taking a quick visit to the bar every now and then, or, you know, renting a few action-packed movies every now and then? No, we keep that stuff out. And the Apostle Peter goes on to say, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which was called you is holy, be ye also holy in all manner of conversation, and not just conversation, but in all areas of our lives. Let's not try and live, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Christ, let's live holy lives. And let's turn away from those things that we used to do before. Let's not put ourselves in a situation where, you know, we'll be tempted or
be tempted to compromise, or little things try and slip back in. No, let's keep ourselves out of those compromising situations. Let's fortify and strengthen ourselves with the Word of God, and when we do those things and some of the other things that you mentioned, Brother Paul, we can live a victorious life. And it's not of our own strength, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit through Christ.
As a matter of fact, the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, he said, "But you and I should rejoice, in as much as we are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory should be revealed, ye should be glad also in exceeding joy. If ye be approached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is even spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf." And the reason why he said this, in the next verse, "For the time is come, not coming, ladies and gentlemen, but the time is come, right now, that judgment must begin at the house of God. Take note, not at the houses of God, but at the house of God. And if it first began at the house of God, and if it first began at us who are in the house of God, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Notice, not the gospels, but the gospel that was first preached in the Garden of Eden." And then verse 18, he says, "For if the righteous shall scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him is well-doing, as unto a faithful creator." That's good news. So the Apostle Peter said, the time has come for us, that judgment has begun, and it began at the house of God. The question is, are you in that house tonight? Not the houses, like we here in the Bahamas, we have a church in just about every street corner. Independent churches are springing up all around us. Why? Because men don't want to abide in the faith. Everyone want their own faith. Everyone will do whatever they want to do. But God has a church, because he says it's best. He said, "Upon this rock, singular, I will build my church, singular, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And surely the gates are trying to prevail. But based on the authority of God's word, they will not prevail. God will have a people when he returns. In Matthew 24, he says, "And the devil will try to destroy those people. But for the elect's sake, for those people who stand and stood like I stand and stood, they will be saved." That's the good news. Are we going to be a part of that number, ladies and gentlemen, if he should appear in the clouds tonight?
One question that you have to immediately ask yourself is, if it doesn't matter what we do after we become saved, after we receive salvation, if that can't be lost, then what's the point of all this instruction that's in the Bible? What's the point of the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul saying all these things and giving all this instruction and godly wisdom of how we should live if salvation can't be lost? You might as well take the rest of that stuff out. We can live any way we want to live if it doesn't matter, but it's in there for a reason. And one thing we always try to do, Brother Paul, Brother Julian, is to encourage people to read the scriptures for themselves. This is not a religion based solely on emotion, where we come to church and jump up and down, sing a few songs, and then go off on an emotional high. This requires you to study for yourself, to think and to read the scriptures and cross read and cross reference and think and pray. And once we do these things, then we would come to realize that some of the things that we've been taught or that we believe or some traditions that we've held on to for the majority of our lives simply don't make sense. When we start to read the Word of God for ourselves and the Holy Spirit starts to lead and direct our lives, we would ask the question, that didn't make sense. How is it that I can claim to be safe but live whatever way I want to live, and salvation can't be lost, and I just still enter heaven? That just doesn't make sense when you start to read the Word of God. And I encourage all of you in the listening audience and even amongst ourselves, we always encourage each other, we know we have to study. You have to study, not just for the show, but so that we won't forget what we've read, but also that we would grow deeper and grow
more in God's wisdom. And that's what we all have to do as believers. We have to study this word for ourselves, and God will reveal the truth to us.
This victorious life you've been talking about, gentlemen, for a little while now, is this open up to everybody, or only this only open to a certain set of people?
A select few?
A select few, that's right.
No, sir, Brother Julian, this is open up to everyone. You know, the when we go back to the book of Genesis, I can't remember the exact chapter or verse right off the top of my head, but I think it says that, it wasn't Noah, it was Abraham, and it said something to the fact that the Lord was pleased with the way he lived, and the Lord couldn't be pleased with the way that he lived if he wasn't living a life that was pleasing to the Lord. No, I think it said that Abraham kept all of my commandments
and statutes,
right?
Yeah.
And it also said that Noah found
grace.
Found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we have to ask ourselves these questions. You know, why is it that Abraham was able to keep the commandments? You know, why was it that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? And if it wasn't possible for them to live, you know, what we now call a victorious life, and the Bible is quite clear that, you know, God's grace existed from the foundation of the world. And that same power that is given to us today to overcome sin and to live victoriously was given to everyone from Adam straight down to us.
Is it for everybody, Brother Julian? It's for everybody. I think 2 Peter 3:9 says it best. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance from what? Repentance from sin. You hear it all the time on the radio. Repent. Repent from sin. But you know, most people, when you talk to them, ask them what is sin, they cannot give an answer what is sin, or maybe they don't want to give the answer to what is sin. But like I read for a few moments ago, sin is still a transgression of God's law. And it's a transgression of that law that is going to find men and women to be outside of the kingdom, and even some little children, according to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea 4, 6 says, because the parents reject the commandments of God, God also reject the children. Why is this? Because most times, whatever the parents dabble in, the children are going to find themselves dabbling in the same thing. So, I mean, that's a sad indictment against parents and children. Better God say, if I can't trust the parents in the courts of heaven, then I can't trust the children. But there's good news, because we know in the issue with Enoch, well, Enoch's father was Cain, and we know Cain was a murderer. But Enoch decided not to live the life of his father, and the Lord delivered Enoch. As a matter of fact, Enoch right now is in the courts of heaven. Enoch pleased God, the Bible says, and God took him with him in heaven. And who says that God cannot take you? Who says that tomorrow morning you can be one of those who just disappear? Like, you know, people say, you know, going to secret rapture. Well, no, the Lord does it better than that. He just takes you away by yourself. And he will leave something to let you know that you went away with him. He's not going to just disappear you like that to make the secret rapture thing that it's alive. The Lord, he does not work like that. If he want to take you to heaven, by all means, he can take you right now if he want to. You don't have to wait till the resurrection day. He's in the saving business. And that's why he said to his servant Peter that he's not slack concerning his promises, like some man counts slackness. Some people say, well, the world has been going this way forever. It's not going to come to an end. I remember my grandparents, my great-great-grandparents tell me the world is soon going to be coming to an end. Well, ladies and gentlemen, one of these days, you know, if you continue to live that riotous life, you're going to have to eat those words. And God forbid if any of the members here turn a point, begin to live that riotous life once again. We too will be eating those words, because remember that once you are saved in Jesus Christ, that does not mean you have to remain saved. You are free at any time to just say, Lord, I had enough of this. Bye, I'm going. And with tears in his eyes, he's going to plead with you not to go on. But if you decide to go, well, so be it. He's not going to make it easy, because the Bible said the way of transgressor is hard. So while you try to run away from the Lord, he's going to make it as difficult as possible. That as you run away from him, you're going to realize that his ways is always the best way to live. And now that you decide to move away from him, it's going to be very sad to know that at the end of time, you are lost.
The telephone numbers are, for the Family of Islands, which is a toll-free call, that's 242-300-8255. That's 242-300-8255. That's a toll-free call from those of you calling from the Family of Islands. For those of you who want to call from New Providence, the numbers are 325-5403, 325-5404, and 325-5405. They are telephone numbers, and we welcome your comments and questions on the topic that we're discussing this afternoon, and that is once saved, always saved, or like Brother Renry liked to say, once saved, always safe, or living the victorious life. Any questions or comments that you have concerning anything that you hear, that you've heard here tonight, or anything that you want to add to what we have been saying so far, please feel free to add in and join in this conversation so that the whole, so that we all in this, who are joining on this Christian war, could be edified from what you have to say. Brother Paul, I think when we look at most Christians today, you talk earlier about this in and out life. But when we look at most Christians today, we see that most of them live this in and out life. And if you talk to them, it seems as if most of them live this in and out life. My question to you then is, who should be our example? Who should we follow?
Our example should be Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter says the best in 1 Peter. He said, even hereunto are we called. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto are you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened it not. But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So he committed himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the example. He is the pattern man. He is the one that we should be following. Him and no one else. And here again, there's one area that Christ walked in when he walked among men that most men today don't want to walk in. For some reason, they think it's okay for them to walk however they want to walk. And that's what is written in Luke 4, verse 16, where the Bible said, as Jesus Christ's custom was, he went to the synagogue every Sabbath day. Here again, there's going to be no rebellious people in heaven. You know, and I don't know if a lot of people are aware of it, but you know, in Isaiah 66, the Bible says that all flesh should come to worship before the Lord on the Sabbath day. So here again, saying that, you know, you're not going to be rebellious in heaven, if you don't want to keep the Sabbath on earth, remembering that the same mindset you die with, the same mindset you're going to wake up with, if you don't want to keep the Sabbath here on earth, what makes you think when you get to heaven you're going to want to keep it? Because the prophecy is quite clear in Isaiah chapter 66. And I'm going to read it for you in your hearing. You maybe never heard that text before, but I will read it. It says, talking about the Sabbath day, talk about how in the new way people will keep the Sabbath day. But just before I read it, there's someone on the line. We're going to take the call, and then we're going to come back to answering that question.
You have... Go ahead, Cat Island.
Yes, how you all doing, man?
We're doing fine.
That's good. I don't usually listen to 1540, but I'm a Christian, you know, man, in Cat Island, and I think there's some other gentleman that's come on probably another time. I usually turn on the radio, and Christian talks are kind of different from yours. But I want to thank God for y'all and what y'all are doing, man, because being around in the world today, it's like living in the world all by yourself, and the topic that you guys are discussing is a blessing from the Lord for me to listen to you guys tonight on the issue of one save, always save, because you get to talk all the time, but some people believe that once they come to Christ and they accept Jesus Christ, that, you know, it's all good after that. And they could do whatever they want to do, and they're saved and they're going to heaven. And I really believe that through Jesus Christ, we can do all things.
Amen.
And we could overcome all spirits. The Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And Paul said, I can do all things, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. And so it shows through Jesus Christ we get the victory. And when we accept Jesus Christ, that's what he died on the cross for.
Amen.
And Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, he says, sin shall not have dominion over us.
Amen.
For we are under grace and not under the law. So, you know, it's all through Jesus Christ. We could live the victorious life, and I'm living it right now.
Amen.
And I just want to thank God for you guys and what you are doing. When I come down to Nassau, I'd like to find you all where you worship, your ministry, so I can come by and hail you all and worship at some point with you guys.
Thank you much. We'll be looking forward to whenever you come, just give us a call at that number at 322-6273, and we'd be happy to come pick you up from the airport or whatever assistance you need. Feel free.
Or you could visit our website at www.tpministries.org. I don't know if you have access to a computer on internet, but I'm sure that they have it down in, I think they might have it down in Cat Island. You could you can email us and maybe we could correspond while you're there and talk from here, and when you come here we could get together.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, get me that phone number again.
322-6273.
6273.
All right?
Okay, thanks, man. God bless you.
Same to you, my brother.